say I can breathe. Here we go.
This is the year of a lot of firsts. It's a year of a lot of situations that we've never dealt with in the church. I got some good news and some bad news for you. Which you want to hear first? Well, we want to talk about good news today. Before the pandemic, our Sunday school was averaging about 100 to 110. Today, we had first day of Sunday school, we had 90 people in Sunday school. I think that's great. I think that's great. Now, you want the good news or the bad news? Okay, it's good and bad news. Christmas is coming. Actually, believe it or not, we are already starting to think about Christmas in the church. And I was at Walmart, and guess what I'm seeing they're putting up? Christmas lights and everything already. So, anyway, this is a weird week, isn't it? Strange. You know, 2020, the year everyone wants to forget, that's the best way to describe it. But 2020, whoever thought that in an election year we would have a pandemic, the stock market would crash, quickest it's ever crashed, but it's also rebounded back up to where it was beforehand. The job market would go, I believe it was 12% unemployment, now it's down to, was it 8 or 7%? So it's just really fascinating looking at all of this and how things are happening. And then all of a sudden, today, or this was 2 days ago, a Supreme Court justice now dies. So now we have to bring a new Supreme Court justice in. Weird, just weird things that are happening. You know, I'm reminded of what the scriptures say. That all authority has been established by God. That's where in this election year, that's why I'm kind of just sitting here going, you know, I just have a lot of comfort, irregardless of which way it goes. I have a lot of comfort that God is in charge and there is a God. I just hold on to that. And I think about that in relation to Daniel. I'm amazed how many people are actually, churches are actually studying the book of Daniel right now. I know Salina First is. We are studying the book of Daniel. If I understand right, that Sunday school class is studying Daniel as well. Randy Schellebarger is teaching it. I think the Alverton and Kunkel United Brethren Church, my first churches I pastor, they're studying it. I'm not sure if my Hopewell Church is, but it's just really weird seeing all this, that we're kind of all on the same page, and we're all focusing on the same book of the Bible. And I think about that even in relation to Nebuchadnezzar. Many of you know that Nebuchadnezzar was the leader of Babylon. And last week, if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. We spent a lot of time talking about how we know if something is of God or not. And I love what Nebuchadnezzar said in his dream. He went to his wise men, his magicians, whatever, and said, you know, I want to know what this dream means, but I'm not going to tell you what this dream is. You have to tell me what this dream is, then interpret it. Because if you just tell me what the dream is, guess what's going to happen? You're just going to say whatever comes to your mind, and that which will make you feel good, or make me feel good. And if you've ever watch some of these fortune tellers and psychics and everything else, that's how they do it. Tell me the story, and then I will interpret it for you. They don't stand up and say, here's your dream, by the way, and this is the meaning of it. I talked a little bit about Sylvia Brown. Some of you remember her and how she used to do the fortune telling on Maury Povich. And, you know, I literally could stand there watching her, and I said, I knew exactly what she was going to say ahead of time. Because it's nothing mystical about it. It is essentially saying what you want to hear. And so here's Nebuchadnezzar saying, I've got this dream, and I need you, it's troubling me, so tell me what the dream means. And he says, and the magicians came up and says, oh, tell me the dream, then we'll interpret it. He goes, oh, no. in order to make sure this is of God, you have to tell me what the dream is and then the interpretation. Of course, you know, he got angry and then he was going to kill all the magicians, all the wise men and everything else. Daniel comes up and says, I'll interpret it. Let me pray about it. He prayed about it. God gave him what the dream was, and then God interpreted it for him. And then the interpretation came about. And what was interesting was what Nebuchadnezzar said. Afterwards, this is what he said. I'm sorry, I'm a little ahead of myself. This is what Daniel says. It said, Your Majesty, there before you stood a large statue. This is the dream. An enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. And the head of the statue was made of pure gold, and his chest and arms were silver, and his belly and his thighs of bronze. So you have a picture of this statue that is just magnificent and huge. Its legs of iron, its feet, the legs of iron and its feet partly of iron and baked in clay. And while you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands, but struck the statue's feet of iron and clay and smashed it. Then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold were all broken up and became like chaff in the threshing floor in the summer. And the wind came by, swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. So we have this statue, and you have it on the back of your notes, by the way. And this is what it looked like. It had a head of gold, a chest of silver, and whatnot. But what was interesting about this is this was a prophetic dream, and the prophetic dream happened. Do you remember what I said? In Deuteronomy chapter 18, it says, how do we know if something's of the Lord or not? And what they said was, if what the person says in the name of the Lord does not come about, you're not to listen to them. And I was pretty tough on some Christians on television who have predicted and predicted and predicted, and it hasn't come about, or it's been proven false. I don't listen to those people because what they're saying is not of God. And so here's the kingdoms that have come that this statue predicted and actually happened. You had Babylon, which is this one. Then you had the breast and arms of silver. After Babylon came the Medo-Persian Empire. And after the Medo-Persian Empire, the belly and the thighs of bronze, you had the Greece Empire. And then, by the way, the Greek soldiers used to dress up in bronze. And then you had the legs of iron, which would have been the Roman Empire. And then after that, you have the feet and the toes of iron and clay, which has not happened yet. Most scholars believe that this is the kingdom that's going to come at the end of the world. So we see that it has come about with the exception of the last one, depending on your interpretation. All right. Now, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and it brings him to worship God when it's interpreted. And friends, hear me on this one. Our main job as Christians is to cause other people to see Jesus and to bring them to the point where they worship God. That's our main job. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. It's not about us, it's about God. That's all it boils down to. I constantly have to think to myself when I'm writing on Facebook, when I'm responding to someone or acting some way, how does this reflect on Jesus Christ, especially if they find out I'm a pastor? So if I go down the road and I get angry, which I never get angry on the road, my wife's in the other room right now laughing, and I have road rage and I'm pushing somebody off the road, they're going to eventually find out what my occupation is because I represent Jesus. And somebody's going to say, he's a pastor? I represent Christ. My job is to bring people to Jesus Christ. And my job is to show people Jesus Christ. All right. So King Nebuchadnezzar, after this came about, fell on his face and fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering of an incense be presented to him. And the king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. All right, so Nebuchadnezzar is now praising God. Here's something else we need to keep in mind, Christians. Always remember when God is close and very real. Because time will come when you're going to feel like you're in a desert and God isn't there. It is going to happen. So it's very important for you to hold on to those memories and store up a memory bank is what we call it. The same thing in your marriage. The same thing in your marriage. Do things in your marriage in which you can store up great memories. Because tough times will happen in your marriage. It will happen. There will be times that you'll look at each other and you wake up in the morning and you know, and he's got bad breath and everything else. You're going, I married him? But always hold on to the memories. Gary Smalley, a Christian psychologist, came right out and said this. He can predict the difference between those who make it and those who don't in a marriage is usually dependent upon the memories that are stored up. If it's mostly negative memories, then you're going to go bankrupt. If it's positive memories, those positive memories are going to help you when you go through the negative times. Okay? Same thing in your Christian walk. Remember the times when Jesus was with you. Remember the times that Jesus was so real. Remember the miracles. Remember all those. Remember those, because a time will come when you'll go through the desert. So Nebuchadnezzar is now praising God, and now he's building a statue for people to worship him? Well, that's what the next section is in Daniel chapter 3. So Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar now builds a statue. We had a dream about a statue. Now he's actually building a statue that's 90 feet tall, 30 feet wide, and it's made of gold. Most likely it was wood or clay, and it was gold overlay. But anyway, it was huge, and it was beautiful. And every time that the lyre, the trumpet, or a musical instrument played, everyone was to stop, and they were to bow, and they were to worship that statue. If they did not do that, they would be thrown into a fiery furnace. And you're saying, a fiery furnace? It makes a lot of sense when you spend time in the Middle East. Because there's furnaces absolutely everywhere, especially in countries like India or Bangladesh. You have brick furnaces absolutely everywhere. So if you don't worship me, you're going to die. You will die. Okay. The question I now raise is how soon we forget. Here you have Nebuchadnezzar that has this dream. He's worshiping and praising God. And now he's building a statue to himself. How easily we forget. But here's the key, people. Irregardless of how we act or react, God's will be done. So you got a choice. We can yield ourselves and obey God and go with the flow with God, or we can rebel against Him. But with or without you, God's will be done. And when you abandon God, you will lose. You will lose. So Nebuchadnezzar erects an image of himself, an idol, and everyone is to worship. Do you know that worship of me has always been the problem of mankind? I mean, go back to Adam and Eve. What did they do? They wanted to be like God. And so they ate the fruit that they weren't supposed to. And so the worship of me is always the problem of mankind. And we see that, I've got to tell you, go to Washington, you're going to see it. Because absolute power corrupts absolutely. I did a video, I think it was yesterday or the day before, on Ceausescu. Anybody remember him, the Romanian dictator, Ceausescu? In the 1980s, when the big, when communism fell and... In Romania, they went and they got Ceausescu and his wife, and they because here you have this whole country that was in poverty, just poverty, 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 and yet they went into his palace essentially, and they had gold fixtures on the sinks and all, kind of like what you see in North Korea. Okay, the whole country is designed to focus on you. I mean, to focus on to take care of you. And we see that in Washington. We really do. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. The key is you got to place Jesus Christ first in your life. You got to do it. He's got to be the king, not you. So every time you make a decision and you're sitting here saying, should I do this or not? Just ask yourself this one question. What does Jesus want me to do? And do it his way. And yet, many times what we do is we will literally sit here and say, well, I'm going to do it my way. I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to compromise. And yet we compromise, and then we can't figure out why our life's falling apart and why we're having problems. And then you come to the pastor and say, what should I do? And I said, what did you do in your past? And they tell me, and I go, well, you could have avoided it if you just would have done it God's way. All right, let's see what we can do. Let's put it back together. Place Christ on the throne. That's the key. And so what they decided to do is if you didn't bow down and you didn't worship this idol, you were going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Now, this is one fiery furnace. It's not the type that I saw in Bangladesh or India. Because the ones in Bangladesh and India, it's just basically, it looks like a mound with a smokestack out of it. And I'm talking about something that's probably as big as this entire structure. Not this structure, but this entire complex at Mount Tabor. But this is another type of furnace. So it makes sense that what the king was saying is, if you don't bow to me, I'm going to throw you in a brick furnace. About 3,500 BC is when they started firing bricks. Before then, they just laid them out in the sun. But at that time, they realized that they can make a furnace and they can dry these things out even quicker. And so here we have what it might look like. So he says, if you don't bow down, this is what you're going in. You look over and you see this monstrosity and you say, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to go in there. What Nebuchadnezzar was focusing on was what we call idolatry. Idolatry is when we put anything in front of God and we worship that. And every one of us struggles with idolatry. Because every one of us has something that we like and we like doing. And there are times that we have to say no to it so that God might shine. Idolatry might be my anger. You know, idolatry might be, you name it. I was actually came across an article that said the top 10 idols in America are, and it went through them. Some of you have heard them before, sports and whatever else. The interesting one that they put in is your automobile. What? I've never heard of that before. But you know what? I take care better of my automobile than I own my own children, you know? Anything that takes the name or takes away from God is an idol. Idolatry in the Old Testament even goes under the name of whoring. It says Israel went whoring when it started worshiping other gods. It says Israel committed adultery, same kind of prostitution. So when you prostitute yourself, when you worship something other than God. So Nebuchadnezzar erects this huge statue, and people are to go and they are to worship that statue. Every time that you hear this trumpet, you are to stop and you are to worship it and you are to bow down. And along came three individuals, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, from the Jewish persuasion. And they wouldn't bow. When does it come time that we say no? We are in a very odd time. I actually wrote a sermon on when it's time to defy the government. And that came the Sunday of the face mandates that came in the state of Ohio. And I said, there is no way I'm preaching that this Sunday. Because you guys will take it wrong. Because the Bible is very specific that we are to obey the government. But there are times you say, no, the government's gone too far. This is not a sermon about the pandemic, but I'm going to tell you that a lot of the book of Daniel, you can make some correlations between it. And so, there's even a state that worshiping of God has been banned indefinitely. So how do you deal with that? Some of you are following a man named John MacArthur. I like John MacArthur. I like his preaching. He is the most in-depth Bible theologian that I think is alive today. He holds to some theological viewpoints that I respect, don't agree with, but I respect. And many of you, if you've been following him, know that he opened up his church in defiance of what's happening in California. And I think they've been to court probably four or five times already, and the judges have ruled in favor of the Grace Community Church, in favor of, and this past week they ruled against Grace Community Church. So what do you do? The trumpet's blaring. Does God come first? Do we defy it and do we worship? Or do we not worship? It's a hard decision what to do. But I like what John MacArthur said, because he's putting God, I mean, he's a Calvinist, which means that he believes that God is in control of absolutely everything. And that, and he says, you know, God ordained this situation. That's what he would hold to. And I find it fascinating what it says, because when you hold to that viewpoint, there is merit to that viewpoint. When you hold to that viewpoint, you can relax a little bit. Because this is what he said. And this is on Fox News. It says, the church preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus died and rose again. This is the only source of eternal salvation. This was on Fox News. The whole nation saw this. Not the whole, but not everybody watches Fox News. The church doesn't exist to make the church doesn't exist to make sure it navigates around political whims. The church exists in the world to preach the saving gospel of Christ. We're not concerned about the flu. We're concerned about eternity and eternal life and salvation. And the more dire circumstances that come in the world around us, and the more critical and the more essential the church becomes, and the more important the gospel comes. Wow. We received a letter with the threat that we could be fined, or I could go to jail for a maximum of 6 months. John MacArthur says he received that letter. I could go to jail for a maximum of 6 months. My biblical hero, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Apostle Paul. And when he went into town, he didn't ask what hotels were there and what they were like. He asked what was the jail like, because he knew that they were going to put him there and he was going to spend some time there. So I don't mind being a little apostolic. If they want to tuck me into jail, I'm open for a jail ministry. I've done a lot of other ministries, and I haven't had an opportunity to do one thing. Bring it on. Did you hear what he said? If you put me in jail, guess what I'm going to do in jail? I'm going to preach the gospel. Now, as I said, this sermon is not a pandemic, it's not a mask, no mask type of sermon. But what I like about what he is saying is God's in charge, God's in control, and I'm going to honor God in every situation. And if I go to jail, I'm going to preach the gospel in the jail. Bring it on. And I'm going, what a revival that would be. Sorry, we had to move John MacArthur to another wing. Everybody's singing. Everybody's praising God. When I was jail minister in Hancock County, Findlay, Ohio, we had a section of the jail, a pod, we called it. It was called the Christian section. Something happened to them. They all gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And they were reading the Bible and they were praying. And they were, whenever they swore or cussed, they had to do push-ups. And it was an amazing thing to see. And the jailers saw it, and the jailers knew it, that something unique happened in there. Wouldn't it be great during this pandemic that we keep that in mind, that we're irregardless of what God does, what God brings about, Jesus Christ is going to be honored, Jesus Christ is going to be glorified, and everything that we do is for Him and not us. That's the key. So I am willing to wear a mask, even though I don't like it. I am willing to wear a mask so people feel comfortable so they come to church. At the same time, I respect those who don't. I mean, it's not an issue to me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego now had a choice to make. Am I going to follow the king, or am I going to stand and honor God first? So what did they do? The trumpet blew, and the rest of the story is next week. Let us pray. So, Father, we thank You for what Your Word has taught us. Above all, may Jesus be honored and glorified in our lives. Above all, when You bring situations to us, let us hold on to them, knowing that You are ultimately in control. And let us hold on to those situations and give an opportunity to share Your love in the gospel. So we do thank You and we praise You. We pray for Grace Community Church. We pray for John MacArthur today. And Lord, I just pray that above all, You will be honored and glorified through it. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen. Well, if you'll stand with us, we're going to close today with the song we sang earlier, Mighty to Save. Just make this part of your heart cry this morning, acknowledging that God is mighty to save.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Shine your
risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Father, I just pray Your blessing upon each and every person that are here, and I do pray, Lord, that You will give us opportunity this week to place You first and to bring You glory and honor, because You are worthy to be praised. We thank You, and we praise You, and honor You, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Look for opportunities this week to place Christ first.
Come set Your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. Church.